Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And what an exciting week. I see the Washington Post was sold
Jeff
Bezos.
That's a shocker,
this
isn't
is
it?
Like, the traditional companies are succumbing to the power of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably a good move. We'll spend a little bit of time on that. There's been quite a few other developments while I have been gone. Google has their new Wi-Fi balloon project. They want to provide internet to the world, and they're going to set up thousands of balloons that are powered by solar panels, mm-hmm, to provide internet access to Africa.
Wow.
And so this is a big operation. And of course, all the NSA stuff has just been in the news. Mm-hmm. The NSA is revealing a little bit of what they're doing, but all the European countries are responding to that quite readily. And today I'm going to feature the man who is the father of the Chinese firewall, the great Chinese firewall, their cybersecurity system that tries to do the filtering. This would be Fang Binxing. That would be his name. You ever heard of Fang?
I've never heard of that. I saw the name on the outline.
Binxing. And of course, we have a very huge mailbag.
Huge.
But
there's a letter in your mailbox.
Yes, indeed. A huge. Oh, just a minute. Let me lift it up here.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Big Voice was so anxious because you've been gone.
Yeah.
He just dove right in there.
He just dove right in. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, I got it opened up now. We got a letter from Alice in Bethesda. Dear Doc Schertz, I own a Sony Bravia TV model, KDL, blah, blah, blah. I bought it in January 2009 when we all went digital. The reception's not really great. Sometimes they get the purple screen. That, of course, this happens when you don't have enough signal for the digital image. But, you know, I don't subscribe to any pay TV. Now, I've got internet with Fios. What are my options for getting more TV, more internet experience on my TV? I was reading an article about Google TV. There's more streaming stuff. What do you think? What are your options on this? Well, let's sort of walk down through all your issues. First of all, you've got a reception problem, apparently, with your digital TV. And I would recommend you get an antenna with an amplifier. You can get an antenna with, say, a 40 dB gain amplifier, a 60 dB gain amplifier. You could, and so if you get some amplification in your antenna, it's really going to help your reception quite a bit, and it won't be quite so sensitive to the position of your antenna. That would be the first thing. Now, the second thing you want to get, clearly you don't want to pay for the media package from Fios, which probably runs $100 a month. You want to get something which is much more reasonable,
mm-hmm,
and I suspect you want it free. Well,
that would be reasonable.
Well, in order to do that, you've got to attach your TV to the internet. That's really the key element. Now, I checked your particular TV model. It does not have a Wi-Fi, built-in Wi-Fi, but it does have an HDMI connection. So you can get a box that will, in fact, have a Wi-Fi connection. It will plug directly into your HDMI, and that's going to give you internet access. You've got a couple of options here. If you want to do something simple, your DVD player may have Wi-Fi access. So you can bet for about $100, you can get a DVD player with the Wi-Fi access, and the DVD player has a web page built into it, and you can use the remote of the DVD to access the web page, and then you can get internet access. And normally, there's an application within that system that lets you sign up for Netflix or some of these other streaming movie channels. Now, another option, which is actually looking pretty good, is Google TV. You can buy a Google TV box, And it will actually allow you, and it provides applications for different kinds of streaming media like Netflix, CNBC, Twitter, Pandora for music, Napster. It's got NBA games, time zone. It's got Amazon Video on Demand. All of these, some of these are free, some of them you have to pay for, but at least it's streaming, and it's all relatively cheap. And the nice thing about Google TV, there's a lot of free stuff that they've got, and the remote control that comes with the Google TV has voice recognition, so you can just talk to it. And in fact, if you are watching just regular TV content, you can actually switch back and forth to your regular TV content that's coming in through your antenna or through Google TV. You'd plug your antenna in through the Google TV so it would pass through that. That's a pretty good option. You know, there's also Apple TV, which does a similar thing, but if you compare them, Google TV, I think, has a slight edge over Apple TV now. The nice thing is both of these boxes connect to HDMI port, and your TV does have an HDMI port, so you don't have to get a new TV. You're really in. If you want streaming media like Netflix, it costs you about $12 a month, and you can have just watch movies.
Mm-hmm.
So for $12 a month, that's not a bad media package, and then you could use your antenna for your news and all. So I think you're going to be okay spending about $100. It was a great email, Alice. Now we got an email from Arnie. He's one of our regular listeners.
Yes, he is.
Dr. Schertz. Oh, this must be a very serious email.
It starts out that way, doesn't it?
Dr. Schertz. Exactly what have you been up to?
Well, yeah, I've been in where Kurdistan. Where have you been?
I've been in Kurdistan. I've got to talk about my Kurdistan
trip
a little bit.
After the
mailbag, I'll get into Kurdistan. Dr. Schertz, are there ways that one can install filters on your computer to eliminate unwanted emails? Well, there are ways to filter out spam by email. It says, I've got Verizon, I've got spam filters on my email, but surely there must be a similar way to filter out unwanted phone calls, like from all these salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
Does Verizon have a way where I could filter out all of these calls that I don't want, just like I can filter out emails? What are the options for that? I've got the Fios bundle, broadband TV and phone. What are my options? Well, here's the deal, Arnie. You can register to the Do Not Call list, and you go to donotcall.gov, and you can just Google Do Not Call list, and it'll get you to that website, and you can register your phone number, and then it takes about a month or two, and those Do Not Call orders go out to all the people that make telemarketing calls, so that will reduce your marketing calls that you receive by about half. Unfortunately, everybody doesn't listen to the government directive about do not call. It's not really perfect. So all the unscrupulous callers, they just keep calling you, and maybe the more trustworthy vendors will stop calling you. So that didn't work too well. Now, Verizon does have a call blocking feature, which you can then put in a specific phone number, and I think you can block up to 10 numbers. Now, that is usually useful if you've got Uncle John, who you just don't want to talk to, if you block his number. But the problem with these telemarketers, they've got variable numbers.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's one number you can block, and I think Verizon maybe only lets you block 10 numbers. It's not like you can block 1,000 numbers. So Here's what I did. I dumped the entire Verizon phone system at
really?
My house. I have Fios, and I got Ooma.
Mm-hmm.
O-O-M-A. I got Ooma. Now, see, with your Verizon package, you're probably paying $60 a month for your phone. Now, with Ooma, I'm paying $10 a year. $10 a year as opposed to $60 a month. Now, but the thing with Ooma, you have to buy the box that converts your regular phone call into a data packet that goes over the internet. So it's a voice over IP converter. So that box costs around $200. But for that $200 and for paying like $10 to $15 a year, you have free unlimited calling in the U.S., any phone number in the U.S., and you have, in addition to that, you can do on a pay on a prepaid basis, I loaded mine up with $30. I can call all the international numbers at Skype rates. So like I can call India for, you know, 5 cents a minute. I can call China for 2.5 cents a minute. And so I can pick up my home phone now. I can call any country, and I have a great rate. I can call anywhere in the U.S. for free, and I'm only paying $15 a year. Now, here's the beauty of it. You log on to the UMA, to the myuma.com, and you put in your phone number and password, and they have what they call the blacklist. And they have on a blacklist every telemarketer in the country. And you click that you want the blacklist to be activated. So I clicked on the blacklist. And then you say, well, what do you want it to ring busy? Do you want it to just keep ringing as though you don't answer? You, and so you can choose what option you want. What I do, I just let the guys just let it in the background. They just think it's ringing, and I never answer.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can make it look like the phone's been disconnected. And once I went with UMA and implemented this blacklist, Verizon doesn't have that option. The number of telemarketing calls that I had dropped to about a 20th. I mean, hardly anything came through. And I only got, then what I was stuck with were these political calls, because the political calls were not blocked on the blacklist. So then you can log on. So if you're annoyed by a particular phone number that's not on the blacklist, you can log on to the website and you just go down to the list numbers and you can just click them and say blacklist at blacklist. And so now I've just now gone through and I've been blacklisting calls that have leaked through over the past, I've done that for about a few months. And now I hardly get any calls to my home phone. Now, the other problem with a home phone, because now I use my cell phone all the time, you know, I really never check the voicemail.
Sure.
Because, I mean, who calls me? I mean, if anybody really knows me, they call my cell phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, so if somebody doesn't really know me, they call the home phone, which means I don't get very many real calls to the home phone. What the nice thing with UMA, it will take the voicemail messages that come into my home number, and it will compress them as an MP3 file and send me an email. So I get an email on my cell phone whenever somebody leaves a message on my home phone, so that way I can listen to them real time. So that's turned out to be extremely convenient. So I could listen to my messages even when I'm in China. And the other thing I wanted to say, I did have to pay $30 to port my old number into UMA. So I kept my old landline number. I ported it over to UMA. And then after it had been ported over to UMA, I canceled Verizon. So people who call me have no idea that I no longer have a landline anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And now if I take my UMA box with me to China, my phone number goes with me to China.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
How big is the UMA box?
It's about, it's about 5 inches by 4 inches and about an inch thick.
No kidding.
And what I do, I just take the UMA box and I plug it into the back of my Fios router. And I've got a wireless phone system at home. I just take my wireless phone system and plug it into the back of the UMA. So all of my wireless phones in the house, when I just pick them up, it's like it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
They just go right through UMA.
So if you take the box from home with you on the road, what happens at home?
There's no phone. There's no phone.
But Marianne's got her own phone, so
she's got her own phone. So you know, I guess I could just steal the home phone and take it with me. It'd be a little selfish, but I could do that.
So that means then, if you take the UMA box on the road with you, you don't have to worry about this whole putting in a different SIM card for wherever you are, right?
But I have to have Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So have to have Wi-Fi.
And that's probably an issue when you go to some of the places where you go.
So when I travel, I just use Skype.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I've got voice over IP clients in my phone. I either use Skype or I use Viber. So I've got two voice over IP clients in my so when I'm traveling and I'm around Wi-Fi, I make all my phone calls. And then usually I'll get a local SIM card so local people can call me when I'm out and about.
So how would this work then? So UMA obviously blocks all of these things to what would have been your landline.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you don't have a landline.
No, they've ported my landline. My number rings at UMA. Because now, see, all phone numbers are portable.
Mm-hmm.
So
So
Verizon was required to transfer my phone number to UMA.
So the UMA box now it has your old landline number.
So if somebody calls my old landline, UMA rings.
So how would you block, or can you block using UMA, unwanted calls to the cell phone? Or can you? You can't
do
that.
No, it's got nothing to do with my cell phone.
Can't do anything.
I'm still stuck on the cell phone. But I don't get many on my cell phone
because
the cell phone is not a published list.
No.
So that is was a great question, yeah. Arnie. And so really, I think I'm recommending just
go
don't take the bundle. Yeah, let me get that was. Let me see here. I got an email from. I really got sidetracked on that.
It was an interesting.
I got an email from a long-time listener, dear Doc Shirts.
A little less formal.
Yeah, a little like, I moved from being solely a Win PC user to an owner of an iMac in 2013. Mostly I'm satisfied, but stuff occurs.
Yeah, well, there's that.
For example, I couldn't find a weather.com app for my iCap, so I found this one particular app, and then I don't really don't like it that well, but it's free. I think longtime listener likes free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, but now it, you know, I bring it up and then it doesn't open up. I just see the shell and I get this little whirling wheel, like it's not loading. And so I don't know how to resolve this. Is there any other options you have for this weather application? Well, this is a longtime listener. Well, this is the deal. More than likely, you know, it's trying to get data. So when you bring up the app, it's not making the data connection. That's why you keep seeing this whirling circle there, mm-hmm. waiting for the data. So what I make certain you've got an internet connection with your Mac that's active, working. And if you've got an internet connection, I would uninstall the application and reinstall it. Now, if it still doesn't work, I'd get another application. I'd uninstall it. And the good news is there are some pretty good applications.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you two paid applications. I know you don't want paid, but they're pretty good. And I'll give you two free applications. Weather Plus is a paid application. It's got it's a great app that gives you the weather along with really a nice animation. And you can put it on the full screen and get the forecast for the next 5 days with a big clock. Now, it does cost money. 99 cents.
Oh no.
Okay.
Can't do that.
Okay,
no.
Longtime listener, no. Ryan. I hope you can afford that. Now, if you want to go really Cadillac, Weather HD is similar to Weather Plus, but it's got greater animations and it's got really great graphics. And this is like primo Cadillac. This is a great option if you don't mind just blowing your budget. Okay, this one is $3.99.
No, that's never going to happen.
Okay, we want to move to the free ones.
Let's go to the free ones.
Okay, we've got Much Weather. This is a free app. It's a simple menu bar.
Much or mock?
Much. Oh, Mock Weather. Mock Weather. Oh yeah, Mock Weather. It's a free app. It's simple to use, and you just check the local temperature without having to do anything confusing. It's not bad, and it is free. Then we've got the Menu Weather. This is also a free app. There's a free app and a paid app version. If you're going to go with free, I'm going to recommend Menu Weather. It's a pretty nice one, and it's free. And if you want to, you know, upgrade it, make it look a little nicer, it's $1.99.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all. Now we've got one more email, and then
let's do your email.
Should we do the email?
And then we'll talk to David. David, can you hang with us for a few minutes?
Did you say hang?
Yes.
Hang
with you?
Well, I'm back from Kurdistan, so that's the word.
Only you go to Kurdistan on vacation.
It wasn't really vacation.
Listen, hold it. Dave, how do you like my suntan?
I'm going to Yemen for a beach vacation.
All right, let's finish up the last email, and then we'll deal with Mr. Bird over here.
Okay, we got an email from Kirk. Dear Dr. Shirts, I've been a faithful listener for many, many years, and don't miss a single podcast. That means he doesn't listen to Federal News Radio.
Exactly. No. Sleeping late.
Even if I happen to be out of town, I just returned from vacation with cousins who took hundreds of photos on their high-resolution digital camera. Now, these photos are all 8 to 12 megabytes in size, and they're just too big to upload to Facebook. They're just too big to do anything with. You multiply that by hundreds and hundreds of photos, and you got a lot of storage problems. And, you know, I know storage is cheap, but I don't want to burn all my storage up on all these photos. Is there a way that I can do batch processing and make these photos smaller?
Call Beacons.
Yeah. See, this is a big problem. You know, people get these high-end, high-end Nikon digital cameras, and they got these monster photos. which are great if you're going to make a 16 by 20 print, but if you just want to store them, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Okay, the good news is there are batch processors for photos. Some of them are free, some you have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've got BIMP Lite.
I love it when he gets technical.
B-I-M-P, BIMP Lite. It's a Windows application that does batch processing. It allows you to create thumbnails, add prefix postscripts. It can change the image width, the height, sequential number. The other nice thing, you can rename it. Have you ever gotten all your images and you've got like DCS01, DES02, and you'd like to call them Beach Pick 01, Beach Pick 02, Beach Pick 03. You can block them, and you can do block renaming automatically. That's not a bad one, and it is free. There's also Fatch. Now, that's a combination
with a PH.
That's a combination of photo and batch.
Wow.
You have photo and batch.
I get
you
that.
Get Fatch.
Wow.
Okay.
Junction.
Talk slower, Doc. I might hold it down.
Fatch. This is an open source photo editor. It can Linux, Mac, or OS X. You can resize, rotate, apply. You can do 35 other options. It's free. Both of these are really working quite nicely. There's another one called Resize Me.
Mm. We've heard that a few
times. Resize Me. Okay, this one is...
Easy, Doc.
This one is 1995. This is 1995.
Yeah.
But you can create thumbnails. You can decrease the size of your photos, resize your images. If you're in portrait mode, you can rotate them. It's quite a nice system, but I'm thinking that you probably want a free application.
Yeah.
So we're not going to really go with
1995,
that
not going to happen.
Yeah, you got PhotoDrop. This is for the Mac. The PhotoDrop is for the Mac. That's also a free application for the Mac, and you can actually resize there. These are all batch processing. You've got Photoshop CS3. Did you know? Of course, Photoshop is a $500 program, but if you've got it, it does batch processing of photos. Now, if you don't want to pay for this expensive Photoshop, there's a photo processing system which is open source called GIMP. You ever heard of GIMP?
Have not.
Yeah. No, I have not, sir.
Yeah, GIMP. Well, GIMP is actually a nice photo editor, which I use quite a bit, and there's a plugin on GIMP.
Uh-oh.
For batch processing photos. Okay, it's called...
He's getting
get
stoked.
This. It's
getting
get this.
Stoked.
Getting it.
And that's why David is here. Da-da-da-da-da-da. It's
he's
called
stoked.
It's called David's Batch Processor.
There you go.
Wow.
It's called DBP.
Very nicely done,
David's
Doc.
Batch Processor. It works on Linux, Mac, or OS X. It actually is quite a nice system. You can get... We'll list all of those on the Tech Talk Online .com website, and you can, you know, download them. There you go.
And
do you have
there you
my
go.
Music?
Do you have Let's
my music?
See if we do hit the music for David.
Daddy, don't start till I walk in.
Hi, folks. This is David Burke.
Don't start, make it pop. DJ, blow my speakers up.
You can start talking now.
Yeah, great show here. No headphones for the guest? What?
Didn't we put anything out for you?
Oh, no. That's why he can't hear anything.
He's got a missing noogie.
It's got a missing noogie.
It's got a missing noogie. I hate to be so untechnical with my description.
We had a little Kesha intro for you there.
Well, that was very nice.
Hold it. I've got to admit something. You know,
what's
I brought
that?
In my Bose headphones the other time.
Mm-hmm.
I stole the noogie.
You got the noogie.
I stole the noogie.
You stole.
I discovered that when I was on the plane going to Kurdistan.
This guy just came back from Iraq.
What's
and
different
he stole
about
the $399 noogie for the headphones.
I intend to bring it in. I just forgot to bring
this
it in.
The
this
only
morning.
Guy I know who goes to Kurdistan and asks them at the airport, "Where's the closest Waffle House?" What is that all about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Doc, let's get to some serious tunes.
Okay,
yes, he's got a big problem.
Here's the big problem. I bought an iPhone 5. The iPhone 4. I wanted to take the pictures from my iPhone 4, put them on my desktop, and then transfer them back over. But my phone's locked. They say. And I can't get the pictures. I don't want to lose the pictures from my 4 phone.
You can.
How do I unlock this thing?
But you can still. It is. There's no 3G connection because they've changed.
Right. Got that. But how about
You can
desktop to phone the connection.
Yeah. You could just plug it in.
And I can still download the photos.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the shortest segment I've ever
done. Yeah, see, you can because what it is when you hook your phone to the computer,
right.
Your computer just thinks it's an external hard drive. And you can just copy all. It looks just like a digital camera.
So I have to sync. That's what the iPhone terminology is. I sync the pictures to my hard drive.
You could actually plug your iPhone. I wouldn't go through the whole syncing deal because you're not even using it anymore.
Yeah.
No, what I would do is I wouldn't sync it through iTunes.
Right,
I'd plug it in, and then you go to your computer functions. You can look at external hard drives.
Right.
You go to My Computer, whatever it's called.
Is it David's iPhone 4?
No, and so you go there and you click on that, and it will look like you've plugged the digital camera into your phone, and you can look at actually the hard drive. You can look at the drive, the storage device right in the iPhone, and you can just take and copy the pictures directly in. Don't use syncing.
Okay.
You can just copy the pictures over.
The pictures will pop up, right? And you can get there's a little checkbox where you can check the ones that you want to.
If you've got that would be image. You've got a software package that's doing the transfer for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you do that, I mean, you could just highlight them all. You could copy them over. There are a number of programs for transferring. Right.
Well, and then you can move them, plug the iPhone 5 in, and then move them into the 5, right?
Right. Normally, now what I did. See, Dave. What I did.
Here we go.
What you've done.
They loved you in Kurdistan, didn't they? I can tell.
Dave. Now, I've just given you how to do it, but that's the stupid way to do it.
That's a stupid way.
Of course, Dr. Schertz is
what I did, Dave. What I did, Dave, I put all of my photos on the iCloud.
Oh.
When I put on my new phone, bingo, they just showed up.
That's even better.
That's much better.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the smart way, but you can't do that retroactively.
No, I've got a small deal here, a small problem.
Because that phone is basically now a brick, right?
Exactly. I've got a brick. Anyway, Doc, thank you so much, and welcome back, by the way.
Well, thank you.
By the way, one question before I leave. Where are the shirts for Jimbo and myself, the Stratford, Oxford?
Should I bring in these Stratford shirts for
the
crew?
Well, that would be kind of nice.
That would, you know.
If we're in radio, we like free stuff.
Nice. That's, Oxford shirt, yeah. Stratford, nice, with pocket, long sleeve. Very nice.
Yeah, these are Van Heusen shirts. Yeah. He's got the
Stratford University low-rise jeans with the logo on the back pocket. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
They're made by Tommy Hilfiger, I think.
I'll bet they are.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Kurdistan is actually quite nice.
This time of year.
It is quite amazing.
Did you buy a vacation home there?
Listen, there are condos there. I can buy a condo. I can buy a condo in Erbil for for $500,000 to $1 million.
Yeah, you mean those RPG proof windows?
And then I went up to the hills about a couple of hours north of Erbil. And they've got a river going through the hills, and it's sort of eroded down through the hill. It looks like a miniature Grand Canyon.
Wow!
I was up there. When we drove up to this Saran, we drove in the bottom of the canyon along the river, and coming back, we drove along the edge. I'm telling you, you look out, you think it looks sort of like Grand Canyon.
Receptionist gave me a message for you, the Chechenian Holiday Inn called, and you've been canceled from your reservation.
Okay, this is the other thing. When they have they're really putting a lot of money. They've got ring roads, underpasses, huge amount of construction over there.
Wow. And they got oil.
And the stoplight, Baghdad has oil. But you know the difference is in Kurdistan, they actually spend their oil revenues to fix up the country.
That kind
of
helps.
Instead of just the leader scarfing it up and shipping it overseas. Huh. So in Kurdistan,
he learned a lot.
He did.
But listen, these street lights, when the street light turns green, they've got LEDs in the post, so the whole post turns green. When the street light turns red, the entire post turns red using this LED technology.
These folks got money to burn over there.
They do.
They really do. Hey, Doc, thank you for that knowledge. I tried not looking directly into your eyes.
Come back next week, and he'll tell you about the 8-hour stopover in Istanbul.
Oh, boy.
I went to the square where all of the protests were there in Istanbul.
Ooh.
Sat there and had some coffee.
Wow. Turkish coffee.
Turkish coffee. Yeah.
That's why he's buzzing.
I did.
He drank Turkish coffee.
He had it a week ago.
I know.
He's still bouncing off the wall.
And you go to the restaurants, everybody's smoking a hookah. Everybody's smoking a hookah everywhere.
Doc, did you?
Did you smoke
no,
a hookah?
No, I didn't smoke a hookah.
Okay.
I tried to stay away. Listen, these hookahs generate a lot of smoke. I tried to stay away from them because I don't like to have a hookah smoker in the next table.
No hookah smokers.
Is there a hookah free free zone when you go to a restaurant?
Free zone. Not in Turkey. Not in Turkey.
You talk turkey in Turkey.
There you go. David Byrd, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You are listening to Tech Talk Radio. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. And we'll be back with more right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to feature Fang Binxing. He is
excellently done, by the way. Excellently done, by
the way. Thank you. I really have been studying these Chinese pronunciations.
You were up at 2 o'clock in the morning practicing that, right?
I have been all night. All night. Binxing. He's known as the father of China's great firewall. He's a member of the Communist Party. Fang Binxing was born July 1960 in Harbin, China. Fang went to the Harbin Institute of Technology, where he earned a PhD in computer science and became a lecturer. He was hired as deputy chief engineer for the National Computer Network Emergency Response Technical Team in 1999, and he was promoted to director in 2000, just a year later. While at that particular institution, he oversaw the development of the filtering technology, computer filtering technology, known as the Golden Shield.
Ooh.
The Golden Shield, which went online in 2003. And of course, the Golden Shield, which in the Western world we call it the Great Chinese Firewall, was designed to filter sites that the Chinese government did not think that the general population should see. And the Great Chinese Firewall sniffs out keywords such as Tibet or Dalai Lama. And then it can cut off the internet user's connection if searches continue. It can also be used to locate internet users who put sensitive information online. So there's like a blogger, they try to track them down so they can arrest them. The Great Chinese Firewall blocks the world's most popular websites, including YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and WikiLeaks. In fact, when Mark Zuckerberg visited China, he went berserk because he couldn't log on to Facebook while he was there, and he was trying to get all of his friends to show him how he could get around the firewall. Fang oversaw the internet censorship program until 2007. Now, after launching the Great Chinese Firewall, he was appointed to be president of the Beijing University of Post and Telecommunication. He continued his research on internet censorship methods and technologies, but he sort of moved to the academic regime. In December 2010, Fang joined a Twitter-like service in China known as a microblog or Weibo. Weibo. He joined a Weibo. Within hours, he was battered by thousands of angry and abusive comments laced with Chinese expletives. Fang shut down his account just a few days later, but he reopened it a year later without comments allowed.
Ah.
He became quite a hated man in the blogosphere because his technology was blocking everybody's access. On May 19th, 2011, Fang was hit on the chest by a shoe thrown at him by a student while he was giving a lecture at Wuhan University. This student became an instant internet hero in the Chinese blogosphere. The student also threw eggs, mm-hmm. but the eggs missed Fang, and only the shoe hit him.
You can get better hang time with a shoe than an egg, I think.
You can do that, mm-hmm. yeah. Okay, Fang, now this is the thing. Fang is actually also trapped in the Chinese, so he can't scan the website. So he actually has 6 VPNs on his home computer. And so he uses them so he can actually bypass the Chinese firewall. Now, he says, I'm not trying to look for any kind of information. I'm just trying to test whether the great Chinese firewall or the VPN wins. It's kind of a contest between the great Chinese firewall and the VPN. When I was there, I used VPNs. I went to China that time, and I had to go through the great Chinese firewall.
I was about to ask you. You were victim to it at some point, weren't you?
Yeah, I was there. I did a live tech talk show when I was there.
I remember we did it, yes.
And so I was. So then I was checking. I was interrogating. This was back actually in 2005, and the firewall had been launched in 2003. And so I was testing where the firewall was. And so I would do. I would actually watch. I would send out a command, a trace command. I could watch the watch my packet hop through the different nodes on the internet till it would go to the U.S. and come back, and I could see which node had a huge delay time. So I knew that was the particular node that was doing the filtering. So I could identify the node that did the filtering. Then I decided to try to go to a site, Wikipedia. And you try to go to Wikipedia, blocked.
Mm-hmm.
So then I connected to a VPN, virtual private network. I used an unencrypted data stream where this was a VPN in actually the Netherlands. So I went to this server in the Netherlands, and then I made my request for a site for Wikipedia, and then the Netherlands server on my behalf as a proxy server, it then made the request to the U.S. for Wikipedia, and I was able to use that proxy server, unencrypted proxy server, to get the Wikipedia page, but it was unencrypted. So I was just, during the radio show, I was like checking Wikipedia. It took the Great Chinese Firewall about 3 minutes to block that connection because it was unencrypted, and they figured out that I was going through this server in the Netherlands. So then I went to an encrypted firewall in another country, and I went to Wikipedia, and they never stopped me. I was able to, you know, all through the rest of the show, I was able to look at Wikipedia and check it out, and they never, because it was an encrypted site. Now, I've noticed in 2012, they're starting to go after the encrypted VPNs. Okay, that was just an aside. That was
sidebar.
An aside. Now, let's get back to the story at hand.
Yes.
Fang Binxing. Now... He has openly criticized foreign companies such as Google and Cisco for the connections with the U.S. government and also Microsoft. He urged the central government to screen for possible software backdoors to protect the telecom infrastructure from sabotage and infiltration, because he postulated that perhaps the U.S. government would have Cisco and Microsoft put security backdoors in their hardware and software, so the NSA could log in and spy on the Chinese or mm-hmm. the other countries. So he warned against that, and his warnings were validated with the Snowden releases
mm-hmm.
that the U.S. had, in fact, waged such attacks through backdoors. Snowden did a lot of damage to this country's security. Now, in the end, though, what comes around goes around. In April 26, 2012, Fang was detained by the police due to his suspected involvement in Bo Xiling's wiretapping of phone calls to senior officials. So they stripped him of his role as being in charge of the Great Chinese Firewall, and they arrested him. on June 27th of 2013, that's just
a couple of weeks ago,
he resigned as president of the Beijing University of Post and Telecommunications, citing health reasons. Many expressed hatred toward Fang, and many were extremely happy that he was arrested. Now, Fang's students at the university spoke out against all of these harsh comments, and they said, actually, since he's been teaching at the university since 2007, he's done a great job in fulfilling their educational aspirations, and they spoke very highly of him as an educator. But he's still a hated man, and now he's in trouble. So it's sort of what goes around comes around there. So there you go. Fang Bingxing, the father of the great Chinese firewall.
Hope you were paying attention, because in just a moment you will have a chance to capitalize on your knowledge by playing the pop quiz here on Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. The pop quiz next here on Tech Talk Radio.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804. Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
You may have thought this was a radio show.
You'd be wrong, though.
You would be wrong. This would be a classroom of the airways, and my co-host knows this very well.
I've learned the hard way.
After years of discussion.
Of browbeating.
Yes, he's fine. And, of course, if there is a classroom of the airways, it is quite important that there be some kind of assessment.
This is the newfangled word for test,
yes,
is it not? That's right,
a test, yeah. Because sometimes people are afraid of a test. So it's not a test. It's an assessment. So earlier in the show, I was talking about...
So PC.
Yes, I was talking about Fang Bingxing. He, of course, is the father of China's great firewall. What is the name of the Chinese firewall that they use internally for it? They don't call it the Great Chinese Firewall.
They don't.
They have another name. What is the name that the Chinese have given to this particular function?
Well, if you know the answer, you got to get it to us fast, because we're running short on time. If you're calling from west of Harbin, China, it's 877-936-9333. If you're calling from east of China, Maine, it's 877-936-9333. And of course, everybody else can reach us by the wildcard line, which is 877-936-9333.
And of course, you can also reach us directly from Kurdistan by using Skype.
Simply, now, you could have done that last week, but you didn't.
I could have done it last week, but I was too busy.
You were busy.
I was too busy sunbathing there on the desert. And not really.
I don't want to think about that.
And so you could go with Skype, and you simply go Tech Talk Radio 1, and you'll be connected to the studio free of charge.
Excellent. So...
Now, while we're waiting for the phone calls to come in, let's talk about the Washington Post being sold to Jeff Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
They agreed to sell it to Amazon.com founder and chief executive Jeffrey P. Bezos. Now, he's the entrepreneur. It's made him. He's the man who started, of course, Amazon.com. He's one of the world's richest men. He's going to pay $250 million in cash for the Post. Now, his willingness to pursue a long-term vision is critical. Was critical to the rise and persistence of Amazon, and so this is probably what's going to take with the Washington Post, because they are having serious problems, actually, as the paper business has been crumbling. Now, it turns out the Seattle-based Amazon will have no role in the purchase, since Bezos himself purchased it, as he'll be the sole owner. It's not part of the publicly traded company, and the deal will close in about 60 days. And the Post company is going to have to get a new name, because now they don't own the Washington Post, but they own Kaplan and a lot of other very profitable operations
and TV stations.
So the Post Washington Post turned out it started out as their primary asset. Now it's their losing asset. So they'll just continue on with their other very profitable assets. The Post company chairman and chief executive officer Donald Graham and Post publisher Catherine Weymouth, his niece, broke the news. And, you know, the Post has been trying to escape their financial turmoil as the print business has just died. And the hope is that Bezos, who's very innovative, is going to be able to infuse the company with the kind of technology that it needs so it can turn around and be resurrected in the digital age.
Interesting. Now, you've got more on this, but let's save that till after the break. Let's go to the phones here. We're going to go to line one. This is Jubilee calling from Riverdale, Maryland. Good morning, Jubilee. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very well, Jubilee. Go ahead, Doc, ask the question, please.
Yes, earlier in the show, I was talking about the man who started the Great Chinese Firewall, Fang Bingxing. What is the name that the Chinese gave to that particular filtering technology?
The Golden Shield.
That is correct. You win two tickets to fine dining, the Escoffier dining room, or the Karem dining room. Just stay
your choice.
Stay on the line, and Andrew, our executive producer, will get your name and email address.
He is also our adjunct professor for prize distribution.
Mm-hmm. And radio technology.
And all that good
stuff. Yes.
It won't fit on a card.
No.
No, it won't. Jubilee, thanks for calling. Hang on just a second, and Andrew will be right with you. You are indeed listening to Tech Talk Radio. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2. We'll be back with more on the Washington Post sale on Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Budget analyst, a vice president of sales. These are today's business leaders, and a degree from Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers you a powerful path to navigate the corporate world. The School of Business Administration at Stratford University offers both bachelor's and master's degree programs for a real-world education. In fact, many of today's Stratford business grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. An executive chef at a trendy restaurant, a hotel general manager at a prestigious resort. These are the high-profile positions in the culinary arts and hospitality management industry. Get working towards your bachelor's or master's degree at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus. In fact, many of today's Stratford culinary arts and hospitality grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And I've just taken a look at our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be facebook.com/techtalkonline. And William Barrett had a question regarding Uber conference.
Ah.
Remember a couple of weeks ago I talked about Uber conference.
We did.
This is a teleconference application for the iPhone, which I found was excellent, and I really do like to use it. It was in 2012, the iPhone application of the year. And he said, is this application, does each app participant have to install Uber Conference on their phone in order to receive it? You said they get an email. How do they install it? What do they have to do? Well, actually, the way Uber Conference works, I simply identify the contacts who I want to be in the conference, and their phone numbers are there. And when I identify them, Uber Conference says, do you want to call them or do you want to email them? I could put down both. And then then when I say start the conference, Uber Conference calls all five people and we're automatically in it. So we're all on it. They don't have to call in. But if somebody doesn't answer their phone call, they get an email. They can click on the email and it takes them to a phone number, which then puts them into the conference automatically. And they don't have to have Uber Conference on the system at all. It's really a great application. And then if I have Uber Conference installed, I can actually mute people. It gives me a nice visual display, and I can move between the different participants. So just the person organizing it needs Uber Conference. Let's get on with the Washington Post story.
Yes.
So now that Jeff Bezos has bought this, and he's going to close in 60 days, what in the world do you think he's going to do with it? Because, you know, people are saying, you know, what's going to happen? Well, he did tell employees on Monday, after the sale was announced, that he would have to invent and experiment as the internet revolutionizes the new business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, although Bezos, not Amazon, is buying the Post, it's widely expected that he'll, in some way, try to get this word, Amazonify. Have you ever heard of that one?
That's a new one.
I think I'll try to Amazonify you.
Oh, my.
Amazonify the news business, which will cut across a lot of different strategies. Now, he could try to emulate Netflix, CEO Reed Hastings, and transform the physical distribution networks into a streaming service. Just like Reed Hastings transformed, you know, mailing out DVDs into streaming things on the internet. So people could sign up, they could subscribe, you know, for $3 a month, you'd get streaming news from the Post. It would be a streaming service, not really a bad idea. It could be a different distribution model. Now that means more real-time news would be delivered via PCs or tablets. Now, another deal, he could have a branded tablet. He could give away free Washington Post tablets or sell them at cost. See, that's what he did with Amazon with the Kindle. He sold the Kindle at cost so he could distribute ebooks, so he could sell Washington Post tablets at cost to distribute streaming news.
Sure.
So that would be another idea. Probably the greatest strength that Amazon has is the knowledge of its customers built up through a buying history, which makes it a very efficient marketeer. So it might be able to transform the advertising business to be more focused.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you see, he can tell what articles you're reading. You see, get this. He streams this to you. He knows what kind of articles you read.
Knows what you're interested in.
Knows what you're interested in. So he delivers ads that are related to the kind of articles that you read. And so all of a sudden, it's a more efficient distribution model for advertisers. And since readers could be anywhere in the country, you could have local. You see, the problem with the Post, you know, if I'd want to advertise, everybody in the whole Post would get it, and I'd have to pay for the number of copies sent out globally. But I could geo-target. I could say, look, I only want readers in the Vienna area or in the Oakland, California area to see it. So I could geo-target it.
Yep.
So then you could have local people pay local rates for local advertising, mm-hmm. which would be a better way to do this kind of advertising. So, but he said the one thing, now Bezos wrote this, that our touch tone will be the readers. We're going to understand what they care about, government, local leaders, restaurant openings, scout meetings, and then we'll work backwards from there. He's going to start with the customer and work backwards, which is instead of starting from the editor and working downward.
Right.
You see, it's a different approach. So his purchase can be viewed as an extension of Amazon's move toward content creation, because they recently moved into creating their own movies and TVs, mm-hmm. So now maybe he wants to create his own news. So there's actually something pretty exciting about it, but
yeah.
it's going to be a totally different embodiment.
It will be. I think, and I not to be to denigrate the Post, but I think they've demonstrated, as most newspapers have over time, that they are not willing change. And they clearly they have to survive.
They have to change. And I think the biggest thing was cultural. See, the newspapers were in this long form journalism where you have like these huge long expose articles. Long form journalism doesn't work on the internet. You need a lot of short mm-hmm. articles. So I think there is going to be a transformation, and it's going to be more customer driven instead of newsroom driven. But I think it's a good thing for the Post.
It is. Hopefully they'll embrace it. And this could be, you would think, maybe the one way to save newspapers.
It could be. He could guide the way for other newspapers in the country.
Doc, based on the time, let's keep it here. You have other things to talk about.
Okay, let's talk about the Google Wi-Fi Balloon Project. Now, Google's latest unconventional project is a balloon-borne Wi-Fi service. It's being tested above Central California this last week. Google has been conducting research flights over parts of California to fine-tune the project. The project is called Project Loon. Project Loon, L-O-O-N. Now, this project is an effort by Google to bring internet access to parts of the world where the necessary infrastructure, such as cell towers, is lacking. Project Loon comes from Google X Labs, which is also responsible for the driving cars, self-driving cars, and the Google Glass eyewear. Most recently, Google said that Project Loon flew over Fresno to test how well Wi-Fi balloons could relay signals over busy cities. Now, it turned out they had trouble over the busy city because there was just so much other radio noise around.
Sure.
And they were picking up a lot of extra radio transmissions, which meant that they had to retransmit a number of times, so the effective bandwidth was reduced. So they're going to have to go back and rework that a bit. But here's the underlying motivator. Two-thirds of the world's population doesn't have internet access yet. So Project Loon is going to focus on getting a network of balloons traveling on the edge of space, very up, very, very high, and they're designed to connect to people in rural and remote areas to help fill the coverage gaps and bring people back online after disasters. Project Loon balloons float in the stratosphere, twice as high as airplanes in weather. They're carried around the Earth by winds, and they can be steered by rising and descending to altitudes with winds moving a desired direction. People connect to the balloon network using a special internet antenna attached to their building. The signal bounces from balloon to balloon and then to the global internet back on Earth. Project Loon was started in June 2013 with an experimental pilot flight in New Zealand, where a small group of Project Loon engineers tested the technology in Christchurch and Canterbury. California was the second test site. So you see, you can't really control the balloons. So you just have so many balloons up there that it just forms. You're always have some balloon within your sight.
This has got to be expensive as all get out. How will Google make money on this?
Selling ads.
Because people will be on the web.
That's right. So what will happen will be if all of a sudden you've got internet access to all of China, I mean all of, say, Africa, remote areas, and then people get access there, they can sell ads. And so everything that Google does is focused on getting more and more penetration of the internet because that drives their revenue model. It's actually quite a interesting thing.
That's a pretty amazing. Do you have any idea how much this cost?
I don't have any idea. They are just going to keep on. They're going to try it out. They'll bring it out in limited areas, and they'll just see how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this. You know, the time just flies.
It does fly by.
You know, I tell you, time just really goes quickly since I've been back from Kurdistan. It's just really fast. But I'll tell you, we want you to check out the programs at Stratford University. Go to stratford.edu. Go to techtalkonline.com to sign up for the podcast, or go to Apple iTunes to sign up for the podcast. And if you go to Stratford, make certain to tell them that you heard about all these great programs on Tech Talk Radio.
And, of course, if you missed today's program, tune in late, would like to hear it again. Tune in today at 4 o'clock for the replay of Tech Talk. See you next week.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. and federalnewsradio.com.
Adventures in button pushing, folks. You're listening to Federal News Radio. Of course, the Nationals are heard here, and you will hear them again today as they continue their homestand against the Phillies. The game coverage starts at 6:30, first pitch at 7:05 here on Federal News Radio. The forecast, a chance for showers and thunderstorms today, mostly after 2 o'clock right now, 79 outside our studios in Northwest at 10 a.m.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not